time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
It is. We are back. Another week in your ear. I'm still riding dirty. I don't know about you, but I'm in the world.
You say you still what?
I'm still riding dirty, brother. I'm still out here. I'm still out here with no preparations at the moment. I don't know where you stand, but that's where I'm at right now.
Is that all coded language for you don't have the vaccine?
I have not got the vaccine yet. I have not done it at the moment. Nah, I'm still ducking. Where you at? How you living?
First of all, you sound like when you talking to a street cat, neighbors, yeah, man, what's up? Bang, bing, boop, boop, you know. Like, yeah, man, I don't know.
A lot of cryptic verses. Yeah, yeah. You never know who could be listening.
Word up. Shit. I'm still unvaccinated as well. I'm plotting on it, though. I'm getting closer. Yeah. You know.
Yeah, I'm plotting on it, too. I don't know if I'm getting closer. I feel that. I haven't really done much in this last week. I did more last week when I researched it and, you know, but emotionally, I'm getting there. I'm starting to feel like, I don't want to say I'm starting to feel, but I don't want to feel like I'm shamed into it. I feel like there's a wave of propaganda. A lot of people, hey, I got my second shot, I'm vaccinated. A lot of people that's like, you're silly. And that's just being mild. Mm-hmm. It goes anywhere from you stupid to it goes even further. To how you don't got the shit at this point, don't you know, da 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 da. So I'm trying to drown that out because I don't want to feel like I'm being bullied into it. I want to make this decision myself. And as we've said time and week again, it's, you know, I understand it, but I gotta get right with it. But yeah, that's where I'm at this moment. Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like with everything, you know, social media, everything becomes I got it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I wouldn't say that's propaganda, that part of it, but you know, everybody want to show that they're, you know, on the right side of what's supposed to be right. You know, and so definitely showing up with their vaccination cards. You know, one of my homeboys, he posted his vaccination shot about 2 days ago, and he was like, you know, I got the one and done, Johnson & Johnson, matcha, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, of course, you know, it's always some news with Johnson & Johnson every week over the last month or so, but you see that they had to put it on pause and, you know, test and see what's going on with some of these reactions.
What, you know, the blood clot?
Oh, stop. And you know, I have my, you know what I'm saying, my own speculation of the Johnson & Johnson with no scientific research or nothing like that. Just, you know, just black speculation.
My Amsterdamus.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying, I don't want to be out here like I'm calling it. I ain't trying to call it. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
it's just,
right.
You know, my own little notes of, okay, this, that, and the third. But, you know, I'm glad that they are at least pausing it to take some time to look and not just trying to gloss over it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Keep it moving.
Yeah.
I'm sure Johnson & Johnson is sick.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They, you know, they gearing up. They already been fighting battles. So,
yeah.
They, you know.
It's their second setback in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, man. That's just the second, you know,
that
widely
know.
Spread. Said right. It's been a few different ones. The other ones, they haven't proven that it was the vaccine itself. You know what I'm saying? Some of them, they saying it might have been the conditions in the place. You know what I'm saying? Might have been too hot up in there, something like that. You know, at least in Georgia, it was a couple of cases in Georgia where the people were, you know what I'm saying, reacting crazy to it. But they were saying that it was, you know, more to do with the heat. Then the vaccine. Yeah. So, you know, they run a test. That's when they pulled it back the last time, at least in some of the places. But now I guess they federally pulling it back.
Right.
To see what's going on.
And I respect that. And I wasn't even talking about the Heat thing, because I didn't hear about that one. But I was talking about the story that came out where there seemed to be a mix-up in ingredients, like a swap. Right. You know, that's the other thing I was talking about. But what I appreciate Johnson & Johnson for, you know, being as transparent as they have been. You know what I'm saying? For the fact of the matter, like, it goes back to not even just this specific thing, but, you know, when they say we're practicing medicine, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, you know, or even just science in itself, it's evolving. You know, it's a lot of post-test, pre-test, you know, pre-test, post-test, a lot of trial and error, right? Mm-hmm. So when somebody takes that into consideration, you know, I think it's still valid, because it's like there's this blind faith, that is arrogant blind faith that's like, well, it's science. Come on now. I mean, it's what do you do? You know what I mean? Right. Like, look, it's all valid. However people feel is however people feel. It is what it is. Do what you want to do and do what you want to do for you. And don't worry about what everybody else is doing, especially if they ain't within 6 to 10 feet of you. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's all I got to say, man.
I mean, and then when it comes to this type of thing, you know what I'm saying? I guess, like, all you have to do is watch any late night TV or see any of the pharmaceutical ads that come on. And you see all of the risk associated with every single medicine in medicine. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, you know, you probably won't, you know, have a stroke, but, you know, there are risk of stroke, you know what I mean? Sometimes the conditions be worse than the shit you got, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, so, shit, this human body is fragile, and science is, you know, like you said, evolving and not perfect, because humans are, you know, making it, and we don't know everything. So, you know, it's out there. You know what I'm saying? 6 people got the blood clots. And, you know, I've received some type of infogram that said that, shit, birth control pills give you more blood clots. We have more risk of blood clots. Cigarette smoking, definitely. And the COVID infection itself, which is, I guess, was the main hook to this infographic. The COVID infection itself is 16.5% of cases, you know what I'm saying, experience some type of blood clots or something like that. But again, I'm no scientist, doctor, nor medical reporter. I'm just a nigga with a mic.
It is, man. It is. Well, you know, hey. It is what it is. I can't say anything more. You already know where I stand. You know where I stand. I'm out here surveying the land.
Buddy.
Yeah, man. Woo-wee. But Johnson's & Johnson's is looking crazy right now. And it's sad because, again, like I said, prior to you, like, kind of pulling my coat to it, I really, like I said, it had the brand awareness. It had the, you know, Johnson & Johnson been in the, it's been in the household since I was a youngster. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it definitely had, I had some brand loyalty there. It was damn near up there. You know, it was high on the tier. But, anyway, moving on. Rest in peace to Earl Simmons, Darkman X, DMX. You know, that was really sad, man. That is sad still, like that. Damn. That hit me, man. That hit me even before it was even announced, like just when, you know, as the news was coming out, from the onset they were saying things were grave and all of that. And you know, it made me reflect on, you know, his contribution to the culture and, you know, his energy and, you know, all of that. And, yeah, man, that it made me quite sad. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I fuck with DMX. He's like verbal adrenaline. You know, mm-hmm. just his music. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, just oral adrenaline. You know, through the ear, and mm-hmm. You know, he had that accessibility. He was bigger than life, but he had an accessibility, that common man accessibility. That never, you know, he never got too far removed from the people, which is. You know, it seems like it's rarer and rarer nowadays in hip hop. You know, it seems like people can't wait to blow up and kind of leave the people. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or like put some distance between them and the common man. And it felt like he kind of drew his strength from that. And he was out there for them, you know? And, you know, it was just what he brought to it, that aggressive sound, that aggressive approach, but at the same time tempered with, like, you know, damn near aggressive vulnerability, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, his spirituality. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, just like, you know, the way that he interspersed spirituality and prayer and all of that, mm-hmm. that's very hard to do without coming across churchy or without polarizing yourself or, you know, putting yourself in a box. It's maybe him and Kanye, and I think they've done two different approaches to it. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, like, that's one of the things that, you know, he was his intensity was so affecting, and it was so, like, in on damn near every level. Like, when you heard him pray, there's a short list of people that I know in life. You know what I'm saying? I think my grandmother's on that list. DMX is on the same list of people that when they pray, you like, oh, nah, this one gonna get through. You know what I mean? Like, this one, they got the connect. You know what I mean? Like, this. Like, I pray. I'm not going to lie. I pray. And when I tell somebody, I'm going to pray for them, I'm going to really pray for them. But, like, I'm not the one that's like, you know, they say, hey, Damien, could you lead us in prayer? I don't know if I'm trying to lead nobody in prayer. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if my belt is black enough. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm what they call a prayer warrior. I'll pray. I'm a prayer soldier. You know what I mean? I don't know about full-on prayer warrior. Like, X was one of them. Like, he was, you know, and that was... That really struck me, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah, man, just...
yeah, I mean, it speaks to a lot of what we talked about with the young Jacksonville niggas, you know what I'm saying, as far as being loud and exuberant with their message, you know what I'm saying? And he was just as loud in his prayer and talking about God as he was in, you know what I'm saying, robbing a nigga on the song, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Whatever he was into on the song, he was just as loud talking to God. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think it was, I think I saw Chris Latimer say that he probably referenced God more than any other, you know what I'm saying, musician outside of gospel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm just paraphrasing. I'm not sure if that's what he said, but that's what I took from it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And when you think about it, I don't know nobody that spoke of God as much as DMX
did. Not like that, no.
You know what I'm saying? As loud and strong as he did, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and DMX probably lived a lot more life than a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, as far as his experience coming up, you know what I'm saying, struggling through, you know, his addictions or whatever, jail, you know. He had a lot going on.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's a lot going on, and so he probably had a lot of experience and a lot to speak from and to draw from, you know.
Yeah.
You could just take, you know what I mean, some inspiration from his loudness in love and in God, you know.
Right.
So,
right.
And be loud about what it is that, whatever it is that you do, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's definitely part and shot, you know what I mean? Just to, hold that. To that point, there's a clip that's going around from, he did an appearance on O Drama. Remember O Drama on BET back in the days? Kim Whitley and I forget the rest of the co-host names, pardon. But I forget who brought it up, but they were like, yo, I think Vanessa Bell Calloway was on it. I forget. But anyway, they brought up, they were like, yo, you know, we hear that you're into, you know, prayer or whatever, you know, religion, or, you know, they were kind of, it was kind of like, it seemed like fodder. Something like the producers might have wrote on the card, like, yo, ask him about, you know, prayer. Mm-hmm. Supposedly this guy's really into the prayer thing. You should ask him if you get a chance. Mm-hmm. So they asked him, and he's like, you know, would you like to pray a little something? Almost like, would you like to spit a freestyle? And what I like, before all of that, before he went into his prayer, he said, I'm going to pray. He said, but look, y'all going to be with me because I pray for real. And they were like, yeah, we're going to be with you. And I just like that. I like that disclaimer. Like, now I'm about to go in. I just need you to be for real. This is real talk. And then what I liked is, you know, showing the commitment. Everybody, you know, bowed their heads. And it's the blackness of the channel, too. Like, not only was everybody on the panel with their head down, they panned through the crowd. Everybody in the crowd had their hand down. That shit turned into a little church. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really cool, man. I like a lot of the remembrances, the little video footage and stuff like that coming up. You know, mm-hmm. It was cool. It's interesting. Like, obviously, I feel, my condolences go to his family. I feel sorry for, you know, not sorry, but, I, you know, my condolences go to his family, and I hope, you know, this is a tough loss. Mm-hmm. But it's so wild. It's like, you know, it feels like, you know how they say you go on to glory. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like, it felt like, you know, he went through a whole lot while he was here, and struggle and life, you know, to your point earlier. Like, I feel like he 50 is only 50. He could have lived a lot longer. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say he didn't live. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like, we go back to the gusto, the exuberance of it all. Like, you know, I think we're mourning, and I think, you know, how they say this person is in a better place, or they're not struggling anymore, things are going to be, you know, a little easier or whatever. It feels like that. It feels like that. Like, it's all right. I mean, we're going to deal with the remnants or the feelings, the grief of the loss, and that was a huge loss. But, you know, it feels like his spirit is going to be good. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's kind of how I feel about that. But, yeah, man, mm-hmm. rest in peace. I feel like he's really resting in peace is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know, life be so challenging that, you know, it could seem like peace. But, you know, we all get our own chance to experience what it's going to be. And,
yeah,
you know, so... You know, while we're here in the land of the living, you know what I'm saying? Do what you're supposed to do here and you know, take the journey from there.
Yeah, take the journey while you can do it. This is it. This is the life. This, everything else is unknown. There ain't no Yelp reviews on death, you know? Might as well stretch this out. Make the most of it while you can. You know? I'm talking all that shit. I'm talking vaccine talk. Talking like a nigga that's been inoculated anyway.
Nah, but you know, I saw somebody on Twitter, they say, you know, wish somebody had that footage of DMX at the Howard Homecoming. And I was like, shit, actually I do, I got it on a VHS tape. But I ain't in, when I get back to New York, I'ma somehow get it to the internet. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be the guy who's like, I got DMX footage too. But, you know what I'm saying, since it was requested, I will post it to where I will reply with a post. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
But, you know, they documented that on the MTV Diary. Yeah, it was VH1. Who had Diary? VH1. I think it was VH1.
MTV.
MTV.
MTV, yeah.
And, thing about it, we talked about it here, about how they didn't tell him he was supposed to perform. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when he showed up, he was like, yo, these people expect me to perform.
Right.
And the dude from Def Jam is chain smoking cigarettes, shaking. You know, like, you didn't tell me that. This is some bullshit. Right. You know what I'm saying? I was like, ah, shit, this nigga finna break out. It was a whole situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And then them kids did expect him to perform. And it had been a deep show that day, too. So it was like, if he didn't, they shouldn't have been mad. know what I'm saying? Because they had Fab when he was out, right. You know what I'm saying? Foxy first time back after her incident where, you know what I'm saying, she was out the game for a second. Noriega. It was a whole list of people, but he was supposed to be the one.
Yep.
And he said, fuck it. And he went out there like it wasn't no problem. You know what I'm saying? He did his whole shit, you know what I'm saying, and got it done because, you know, the people expected it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know what I mean, fuck that, fuck all y'all, I'm out of here. Nobody signed me up to do this shit. You know, and he would have been right. You know what I'm saying? Nobody signed him up to do it. And nobody told the kids that he was guaranteed to perform. You know what I'm saying? So, but he did that shit. And, you know, you got to respect that shit.
Yeah, man, you know. Yeah, just rest in peace, man. Just to, you know, absolute legend, man. So,
no doubt.
Know, yeah. What else is, what's good? What's good? Let's talk. What's this? Good news.
This is neutral news, but it's the first day of Ramadan.
It's neutral news. Neutral news. First day of Ramadan. Is this, this is the second Ramadan in COVID? It's got to be, right?
Yeah. Last year.
Okay. Okay.
Last year.
I don't know if we talked about Ramadan and COVID.
Yeah, we did. We had to. If I was going through it, I definitely, you know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Don't miss to put it on the topics. It's something to talk about.
Right. Nah, I can dig it. So
I'm a fast as loud as I wild out.
Right. Yeah, man. So this is what, day one or day two?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've been seeing a couple people talking about it.
It's becoming a little more, it's pretty cool that it's becoming a little more, not mainstream, but understood. It's mainstream in the sense of how many people do it.
Right.
But just like in my social media timeline, how many people understand it now? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or at least recognize it. Like, okay, Ramadan, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm right now. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Before, you just be on solo. You know what I'm saying? You and your lone Muslim follower, like, hey, all right, Ramadan.
Like Kwanzaa.
You know what I'm saying? He'd be out here fasting quietly.
Right. Why you ain't eating? Well, it's a long story.
Yeah, you can't even drink water? Not. Right. Nope. Damn, no water. I couldn't do that shit, boy. Actually, we about to go eat right now. You be like, hey, thank you very much.
I appreciate
you.
That information. Yeah. How's it? How you feeling going into Ramadan?
It was a rough. I mean, I didn't start on the right foot. You know what I'm saying? I knew it was coming. I didn't prepare as well as I should have, as far as having the right ingredients on tap, because I'm gonna spend most of it in New York. So I'm still in the A. So I didn't want to stock up on all the shit here and then, you know, had to do it again in New York. So I didn't have all the right tools, you know what I mean? And so that made today a little rougher than it probably should have been. Mm-hmm. The last maybe 3-4 years, I had a good little system of how I set it up, because shout out to my man, Brendan Moore, out there, nutrition coach. I mean, I don't even know if he still do that, but he was a nutrition coach. And he had put me on to some hacks. You know what I'm saying? Made sure I had certain type of vitamins and certain type of protein that, you know, he basically called the vitamins like the insurance. Like, this is insurance, like the VitaCode raw supplements, daily supplements for men. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's your insurance. So no matter what you do, you'll have those nutrients in your body. You know what I mean? So
right.
Throughout, that'll hold you down throughout the day. And I didn't have those on deck. I didn't eat the right breakfast. Told myself I was going to do this. I ain't do it. You know what I mean? I should have went ahead and did with my first mindset, just going down to, it's a diner down the block that's open 24 hours. I was like, you know, I could just make up by going there. But then when it's 4:30 in the morning, you like, do I really feel like getting in the car going down there? Yeah, I just make some shit. And that's where it went wrong.
Damn.
So
you ain't had nothing to make, or you just was no, tired.
I had something to make, but I didn't have that type of thing that's gonna hold you down. You know, I ate healthy. You know what I'm saying? I had you know, a bottle of Essentia. I had, you know what I'm saying, 16 ounces of celery juice. I had you know what I'm saying, a big, you know, helping of spinach and eggs. But all that burn fast. That's food that burn fast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you need that shit that stick. You know what I mean? That hold you down. You need them steel cut oats and, you know, shit like that. Like, like real grains or something, you know. That's what I was missing. So, and I'm used to having that during the fast. So, to, you know, today my body like, ha ha, blow, hey man, we need to, who?
right.
This ain't it.
Yeah, man. So what you gonna do? You gonna get some Atlanta grits before, you know what I mean, just to hold you down till you make the trip back to New York, or you gonna
I got some grits. I got some I actually got some steel cut oats, but then I waited too late because you really supposed to cook these like in a crock pot. So if you but I can bake them. I, you know what I'm saying, usually when I don't have access to the crock pot, I just bake them. But you need time, you know what I'm saying? You need about 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, you know what I'm saying, for them things to bake down into something edible. And by the time I thought about it, it was a little too late, you know what I mean? It wasn't going to be ready. So
got it.
I'm like, I'll just run down to the diner, get some oatmeal, and some, you know what I mean? But again, I convinced myself, I talked myself out of it at 4:30 in the morning. Like, whoo.
It's probably a scene during Ramadan, 4:30 at the diner. It might be a whole little vibe, a little community of cats. You never know. It might be, you know what I mean? Something different.
Only time I ran into that, you know what I'm saying? Well, on Fulton Street in Brooklyn, definitely there's always a scene because there's a masjid right there, a large Muslim African community that congregates there, a lot of African spots. So, like, breaking fast in the evening, there's always a community there doing it. 4 in the morning, I ain't discovered that yet. Only place I've had that was at the St. Regis in Los Angeles when that was open, at Century City. And, you know, I was like, damn, screwed, because, you know what I'm saying, the room service didn't start till after the sun came up. Maybe it was 7 something, the sun came up like 6 or whatever. Or the time was like 5:30 or something. And then, so I was checking in, and you know, it was, Ramadan was just about to begin. So the guy that was helping me with my stuff, he, you know, he saw my name or whatever, and he was like, oh, you fasting in the morning? I was like, for sure, if I could find something to eat. It looked like, you know what I'm saying, the food not going to be ready. He was like, nah, I got you. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, word. But what I know was most of the people that worked there, they were like a lot of Muslim people that worked there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I guess they got it popping early for them. I don't know for themselves, but they damn sure had a full on breakfast at my door right at the time. You know what I'm saying? The time that shit was supposed to, whatever the time was, little doorbell with a doom doo. I was like, ah.
That's dope.
I was like, damn. So that.
Yo, that.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that's a white space. That's there's a need for that. Like, there should be a Uber Eats for Ramadan hours.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that shit could work. dog.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, damn. But that's the thing you don't get when you live in a more of a Christian country. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
So, like, I'm sure it's like that if you were in, like, a Muslim country and then everything shut down during the day and you ain't got that type of temptation. Not here, boy. They don't give a damn. They like, man. Yo, Ramadan. Who that nigga think he is? Farrakhan?
You made your own celery juice or you bought it?
Nah, I bought it, actually.
Okay.
There's this brand. My wife got an uncle that I follow on Facebook. Uncle Mike, he's real cool. He live out in California, and he was on an 8-day juice fast. And you know, I've taken Alamara's course, you know what I'm saying, a la care. And celery juice is a big part of it. It helps with digestion, helps, you know what I'm saying, get you started in the morning. And then he was on a juice fast, so I saw these juices behind him, and it had a certain brand. I think it was called Suja or something like that. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, I see the celery juice back there. Maybe I should get some of that. And so I saw it in the Publix and cop. So now I was ready to go.
Okay. Yeah, I know celery juices is really popping as of late. Like that's definitely kind of obviously celery juice has been around for a long time, but it feels like it got another level of popularity throughout the pandemic, you know, amongst some of these superfoods and these things that are kind of help your immune system. Like, yeah, that's been up there with like soursop and sea moss. I've been seeing a lot of celery juice. So, yeah, I was just curious.
Yeah, man. So we at it, you know what I'm saying? I'll be back at it tomorrow. I'm ready. I'm prepared now.
There you go, man. Well, you know, good luck. You know, because what I know, but you know, cause I always feel bad because I, you know me, I like to talk about food too. So I'm gonna chill a little
it's
bit.
It's all good. It's all good. All right,
well, you know, hold
it's
on
all
now.
Good. I'm strong. Yeah. I'm strong.
All right, well, shit. We'll talk about it because what is also interesting, and we had this conversation quite a bit, and what is cool, what I admire about it and respect about it, is it's a moment to where, like, you know, you got to take a second to at least abstain, right? And I know maybe Ramadan or two ago, you were saying that, you know, when you break your fast, you're way more conscious of what you ingest, you know what I'm saying, and what you're eating, because you don't want to just eat some bullshit, because it's kind of like, you kind of just, you're blowing it a little bit, or you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you won't feel it. And, you know, like now it's more fuel. It's more fuel-based. It's like, it's explicitly fuel-based. Meanwhile, transition, I actually finally went ahead, you know, the streets had been asking for a review of that Popeye's flounder sandwich.
Oh, okay. And I can help you out with that. I've had that. Go ahead.
Oh, you went and had it too? Yeah, so what you think? Because I thought it was regular.
You started this conversation.
Jump
in.
Oh, okay. Well, shit. I had it the other day. Day before yesterday, I was in the streets, and I was dealing with some Apple shenanigans. It's actually part of it dovetails the end of some other shit. So like me and Apple, man, we still it's a problem. And my laptop, the battery's been on some bullshit. The battery life has been trash. And so I called the Apple people and we did a little diagnostic over the phone or whatever. And then they were like, you know, they couldn't really find nothing. So they were like, you should go to the Genius Bar. And I was like, I don't really want to go to the Genius Bar. You know, I'm not really trying to be out in the world like that, but I need my laptop. So fuck it. I went out in the world. I went to the Genius Bar and I wasn't feeling it, you know, because it's underground and shit. And it sets the bar too high. I'm sure I've said this before, but Genius, no. These motherfuckers is working it out just like everybody else. But, you know what I mean? Because when I think Genius, I'm thinking you're going to have the answer like that. You know what I mean? But these cats, they be struggling. And it sets your expectations up way too high. So then you're frustrated. Because then they basically did the same shit that I had done over the phone. And couldn't really do much more because they said, yo, did you back up your computer? I said, nah, I talked to the dude. I asked him, did I need to back up my computer before I came to see you? Mm-hmm. He was like, nah. Now, rule of thumb, you should probably just back up your computer anytime you take your computer anywhere. That's just rule of thumb. So I'm going to split that blame. But I definitely asked this dude a pointed question. So he hit me with the bullshit. So they was like, yo, will you sign this data waiver? Meaning if we, you know, crack into your computer and we lose your data, that, you know, we're not responsible. I said, nah, I'm fine. They were like, well, look, because if we could do, we already checked your hardware seems cool. It might be an operating system situation. If you give us your computer for 3 days, we'll flip the operating system, or we could set up a phone appointment. I said, let me do that. Let's do it over the phone, because I'd rather have my computer in my possession. So they say, I say, what's the earliest they could do? They was like, yo, we could do it as soon as tonight, 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I said, all right, bet. Let's do it 10 o'clock, you know. So, okay, between that and 10 o'clock, I'm leaving the spot. I'm feeling a little way, hypochondriac. I'm already feeling like, damn, I done got the COVID. I'm out in the world. I ain't got no vaccine. You know what I mean? I was playing cats as far as I could, but, you know, when I had to talk to the genius, you know what I mean? We kept our distance, but it was still closer than I would have liked. But, you know, I'm already, you know, my cough. You know what I mean? I'm shook. You know what I mean? It's probably about the 15th time I think I got it. So let me knock on wood. Mm. But anyway, so now I'm like, damn, you know, fuck. I'm driving and shit. I said, shit, if I'm about to, I'm going out. Let me go get me some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Just to assuage these thoughts. So I'm like, and I honestly wasn't
comfort
even
food.
Yeah, some comfort food to get me through this. So I honestly didn't even have the shit on my mind, but I'm driving up the block because I was actually going to get a slice from this one spot that I thought was eh, but I watched these YouTube reviews and they were bigging it up again. I'm like, well, maybe I need to double back and see if I was right or not. I know I was right, but and then fortunately I drove past it. And as I'm driving, I drove past it, so I wasn't going to double back for that because I felt like, you know what, you already know what it is. But I saw Popeyes. then I drove past that, but I had to taste for Popeyes, and there's a Popeyes near my spot. And mm-hmm. I was like, damn, maybe I should try that fish sandwich. I've been, you know, the street's been asking. You know how mm-hmm. I put it off? Mm-hmm. I don't take full responsibility for the bullshit. The streets have asked. This is a community service. This is content. The people need to hear this. You know what I mean? They waiting on me to tell them what to do, even though there's a Popeyes in damn near every neighborhood that this podcast is broadcasting. Anyway, so I stopped through to go grab me one of these joints. And so, you know, I pull over, you know, I'm looking for park, take a minute to look for park. So I just pull over to the side mm-hmm. and I say, let me crack this little fish sandwich, see what it's popping. And it wasn't bad, but it wasn't all of that. Like I felt like, and I want to know what you think, but this is how mm-hmm. I felt. I felt like they just, it's basically kind of the chicken sandwich mm-hmm. with just a fried fish fillet that don't have the same flavor or juiciness as the chicken does mm-hmm. in a chicken sandwich. So it's just like a nice little brioche bun, little light tartar sauce, one pickle, and little sad ass flounder fillet. And it wasn't
why
terrible.
You say it was sad.
it just I don't know. It didn't look like it. Obviously, it's fast food, so you know, I should have known better. I've known better for my entire life, but it just looked nothing like the photo. You right. know what I'm saying? But like the chicken sandwich looks close to the photo. You right. know what I'm saying? This shit looked kind of sad. Or maybe the one I had just looked a little sad. It was cool. I was hungry. It wasn't right. terrible, mm-hmm. but the filet of fish ain't got nothing to be afraid of. And the filet of fish is probably still an inferior fish sandwich mm-hmm. compared to this one. But again, like I told y'all, my palate is conditioned, and I like that it does what it does. It knows what it is. Mm-hmm. It has a distinct point of view. This fish sandwich, it felt like it came from a place that cooks chicken for a living. So right. it felt like this fish sandwich had an identity crisis. It didn't really know who it was. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I mm-hmm. felt that ambiguity right. in the taste. But that's right. how I felt. How did you feel?
Well, I don't disagree with you a whole lot. You okay. know what I'm saying? The one I had, it didn't look sad. It looked healthy. You know what I'm saying? It looked stout. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I respected the fact that when you cracked it open, it uh-huh. it did look like a piece of flounder. You know what I'm saying? It didn't
That's
look like
true.
It didn't look like it was pieced together. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. With fish
it was flaky.
Parts.
It was yeah. flaky. It was real. Yeah. That
yeah.
was true.
You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. The thing, like you said, the thing that threw it off for me, and it mm-hmm. wasn't whack, it's just that, again, it's, you know, how like somebody that might cook the chicken in the fish grease, and it's like, oh,
yeah.
it's like they cooked the fish in the chicken grease, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it had the same spices, seemed like the same spices and flavor as the chicken sandwich without the payoff in the middle. So You want your fish to taste like a fish sandwich. You want it to be seasoned like a fish sandwich. You know what I mean? You want it to, you know, you want it to be what it's supposed to be. And it wasn't. So it was cool, but right. You know what I'm saying? It didn't have that fish flavor. Maybe they could have stood to throw a little Old Bay on there or something. I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? It just had the Popeyes flavor. And another thing that I didn't necessarily enjoy was that the crust on it was just as crunchy as the chicken crust. And you never want your fish crunch to be that hard. You know what I'm saying? Seemed like fish supposed to have a softer breading to it. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily like a hard, crunchy crust, you know? Like, you know, you might be in a pub and get some fish and chips that might come out hard, but that ain't really how you really want it, you know?
Right.
You want your fish sandwich to be easy. You don't want to have to scratch the top of your mouth with a, right. You know what I'm saying?
Abrasive ass fish sandwich.
Right, you know?
I didn't have that. My shit ain't have no real texture to it, so I see that's why mine was sad. Yours was stout.
Yeah, mine was stout. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Let's not use the flour. Why don't you put some cornmeal on this motherfucker, man? Right. You know what I'm saying? See how you do with that. Then you kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know? So, that's all.
Yeah, I feel you. Same here. Yeah, it goes back to if they need to give it fish love. It's a specific type of love. Like, they giving it chicken love, and that's not what you do. You gotta be a little bit more deliberate in how you present, you know. So, yeah, Popeyes, if y'all listening, you know, take that as some free game. You know what I mean? I ain't even going to send you an invoice for that. Anyway. Ah, shit. What else is going on, man? Yeah, man, what's up? What's anything else you want to chat? You got anything interesting?
Yeah, I had a question for you. A random query. Okay. I have a friend who's a listener of the podcast. Mm. Used to be my partner in the music supervision company, Akina.
Okay.
Shout out to Akina, CEO of Banana Skirt Productions. And she's been posting a lot of beach pictures, right? You know, which is not odd, you know what I'm saying? It's getting warm and a lot of people are starting to get out and travel. And, but turns out that she totally moved to Mexico. You know what I'm saying? Her son and her nephew picked up, moved to Mexico, you know what I'm saying? And, is living out there and shit, which totally switches the, you know what I'm saying? Your mind is like, damn. What? Like, when you see somebody do something like that, you be questioning your own, you know what I'm saying, courage and shit. Damn, nigga just moved to Mexico. Like, how does that work? You know what I'm saying? Like almost like, you know, not that you can't fathom, because you think about moving places and stuff, but never seriously just say, you know what, fuck it, making a jump, taking the kids, let's go. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which is like, wow, I thought that was like a hell of a move. You know what I'm saying? So I hit her up like, yo, how that work? And then she broke it down. You know what I'm saying? She said, they visited Tulum and, you know, they enjoyed it. And then they discovered that it was a expat community of black people that was out in those parts. She said she didn't want to stay in Tulum because there's more like jungle and, you know, the beach and jungle. But there's a town neighboring between Tulum and Cancun that, you know, had a large community of black people that was out there and just did it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, wow, that shit is dope, because it looked like the kids are benefiting immensely. Like, you know, every day they out there just jumping off cliffs and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wow, in the middle of the pandemic and police shooting black people all the time and shit, you don't necessarily feel that joy in Brooklyn or even, you know what I'm saying, in Atlanta.
America.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, man, is that shit? Is that an option? You know what I'm saying? What I wanted to ask you was, have you ever thought about moving to another country and switching your whole shit?
Wow. You know, it's interesting. One, yeah, shout out to Akina. I saw those photos. I thought she was just on vacation. And now yeah. to hear that it's a full-on move, that's big. You know, I was thinking about it as of mm-hmm. late, probably over the last maybe year with the, you know, it's probably more than usual. You know, it's one of those things that you might, there's like a passing thought, but it was never anything crazy. But like, you know, now that I'm not, one, I wasn't working, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? I'm not in a relationship anymore. It's just, it's been more of something that I sat with a little longer, right? And mm-hmm. it's funny that the Tulum move or Tulum adjacent, I'd been hearing that as of late, that there's like a little expat community going on out there. I'd been hearing about that. But, you know, shit, with all of this, which you already spoke on, all this injustice going on, it felt like just all of the shit, not even just the injustice, the racial injustice, which is huge. That's a huge part of the pie because I'm black. Mm-hmm. That whole trauma and all of this, the exhaustion that comes from that shit and the reel of black brutality that just seems to be on an endless loop that you see. Then you had all these years of the Trump situation and these fucking like idiots storming the Capitol, showing the true double standard of life as a black person. You know, if you even get to live as a black person, then it's like after this, you know, you in the shut, you've been shut down, you're in your house all this time, small ass apartment in New York City. You know what I mean? Like all of this type of shit. Then, wait, like as the world is slowly creeping to bit open, you know, people getting vaccinated and people kind of reemerging into society, it's almost like America was like, all right, time in. Now cops are shooting black kids again, black people again. Motherfuckers is being brutalized. Mass shooting is back. Like, it's like we ain't skipped a beat. It's like, the fucking power went out for a minute and then the power came back on and the DJ played the same record that was playing a year ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely have sat with that thought. The biggest thing, I like how you said it checks your courage, right? Cause, and it's funny too, because I saw this Zillow commercial. And their tagline was "to move is to grow," which I thought was pretty interesting that they put that out there. But it definitely, change comes tough to me. You know what I'm saying? Change is one of things like I wish I was a little bit more open to change than I am. I'll eventually change, but it takes me a minute. I'm not going to lie. And I was just being honest. So a big part of, it would be like, damn, to have to start all over again. You know what I mean? Like to not know nobody. It's as exhilarating as it is almost, I don't want to say scary, but like uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying? To be the new person that doesn't really know the customs, that doesn't really know the culture, that you're just a fish out of water. It's exciting, but at the same time, you're like, ooh, damn. And then on top of that, it's just like, you know, what I do, stand up, you know what I'm saying? Like it's so, you know, it's global, but it's still so American. You know what I mean? Like the real crux of it is still like an American kind of pastime. Like it exists other places, but at the same time too, you don't know what you don't know. So you could get over there and find out, oh, it's a whole lot of shit going on. You know what I'm saying? So there is some excitement about it. There's some things. More than anything, besides my family, it's the last thing that my last note on this, the biggest thing that I would miss, and it seems like Akina found it where she's at, is I would miss the black people. You know what right. I'm saying? Like, I would miss my people. And back to the whole thing about wanting to leave throughout all of this shit, there's also that part of it. It's like, man, we fucking built this shit. I'm not going nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, there's that spite of it all, but then sometimes, shit, you never know, man. It could be beautiful. I just don't know where I would live. There's a bunch of different thoughts, but we'll go back to that. How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, I never really considered it for real, for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had my little places in the States. You know what I'm saying? Shit, if it's going to be New York, you know, Miami, Atlanta, or L.A., you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I had my spots, but, you know, when you got, like, you got kids that's rooted in their school and their friends, you know what I'm saying? It becomes a different thought process of breaking that up, you know what I'm saying? Even, you know, as they get older and it's like, you know, they all start to become grown, you start to think, okay, well, what shit, what we do after this, you know what I mean? And it's still based on them. It's like, well, shit, we need to be somewhere where they can get to us and da-da-da-da-da, you know? So, honestly, I never thought about it in a real way, you know what I mean? I wanted to visit places and summer places and shit like that. But to say, all right, I'm moving, I never thought about it. And you know, I sometimes, like, say when I did the magazine, and it was 21st Century Hustle, Change or Die, and I'm talking all this shit, right? You know what I'm saying? What I found is, like, people who may have never thought about that type of thing, they look at it like, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Don't be shitting on my life. I'm like, nah, I'm not shitting on your life. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's other shit out here. You know what I mean? But I call it the mirror effect. And it's, and you know, sometimes you run into scenarios, and Akina moving to Mexico being one of them was like, damn, I had to check myself in the mirror, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? You never considered anything like this big ass world out here. You know what I'm saying? You know, you stuck thinking about four cities, you know what I mean? When it's a whole world of places out here. So, you know, not that I'm planning to do that, or but I'm not writing it off either. It's just something to think about. And I don't think we give it a lot of thought because I guess we feel comfortable with what is America and the propaganda of it, and it's our home, and, you know, we built this, and, you know. But one part of it is that, you know, we don't really know where our real ancestral home is for sure. You know what I mean? We know the continent, but that's shit, that continent big as America and Europe and all that shit put together. So you know what I'm saying? So that's what slavery does, is take away your, you know what I'm saying, your home of being able to say, oh, nah, I could at least go back to my homeland. You know what I'm saying? Even if you came from, like, say you came from Jamaica or an island in the Caribbean, That's not your ancestral home per se, but if you had to get the fuck up out of America, you know where you could go. You know what I'm saying? And and maybe walk straight into a, you know what I'm saying, curry goat or some shit. Like, hey, grandma, shit, I'm back. We miss you. You know what I'm saying?
Refuge.
Yeah, we show up anywhere on the earth, and it's like, nigga,
tourists. Oh, unfamiliar ass. Yeah.
Where you from? You know what I'm saying? Right. Especially, like, you had a name like Ali Muhammad, they expect you to be from somewhere. Where you from? I'm from Miami. Where your family from? Nigga, the plantation, Georgia. You know what I'm saying? Kentucky, nigga, what the fuck?
You know what I'm saying? You don't even know the plantation.
Right, you know what I'm saying? You know, ain't nothing exotic.
Man. Nah, I hear you. It's, I've thought about it, though. I've given it some thought. You know, you hear, it's funny, too, because as of late, like, I was just watching this interview, Dave Chappelle and Naomi Campbell, right? And Dave Chappelle was talking about how Stevie Wonder says he's moving to Ghana. And Dave was thinking about maybe even doing the same thing type of thing, right? Like, and I know you talked about the, what is it called? The Return? What was the name of that, the big movement that was going on in Ghana?
Oh, like the Homecoming?
Yeah, what was that called? Not The Return. Yeah. What's it called? The Return, right?
The Return, like, or Homecoming or something like that.
But just I do feel like maybe it's just a part of getting older. You know what I'm saying? Like, people getting older, the conversations change it. But I do feel like, or even to your point about Ramadan, I feel like the conversation about living globally as a black person has gained a little bit more traction than maybe it did before, when maybe it was just what state you're going to move to. You're going to live up north, you're going to live down south. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it kind of seemed like it was limited to. Mm-hmm. And now it's a lot more expansive. There's people that have done it, you know. On that same list as Akina, I know Sherry Biting. She used to live in, what, London or Brazil or something
She's in South Africa now.
Right. Like, you know, like when you start seeing more people, especially now that the world is so much smaller with social media. So mm-hmm. now you starting to see life on Instagram and YouTube. Like, I remember watching a YouTube video of this black couple that moved to Ghana. And they were saying the good and the bad. They was like, yo, well, listen, don't do like we did. You know, you should do a little bit more research before you come out here, because this is where we fucked up at. And right. it was honest. You know what I'm right. saying? It was honest. Like, if it was like, yo, if you move to, you know, if you move from Miami to New York, this is what you should know. You know what I'm saying? It becomes a little bit more accessible because now you know somebody that's made that trip. You know, like, so. And then the romantic nature of, like, shit, what, like James Baldwin and Nina Simone, or what's my lady's name from they portrayed her in Lovecraft Country. She was in France, the dancer, mm-hmm. Singer, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. Banana but you know skirt. Like there's huh?
Banana skirt.
Yeah, there you go. Shout out to Josephine. Yeah. Josephine Baker. Yeah. Josephine Baker. Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah.
Speaking of Banana Skirt Productions.
Right. Is that what she had? Is that what that's called? The Banana Skirts?
What she had? That's what she got from Josephine Baker's Banana Skirt.
Look at that. Look at how it all works out.
Yeah. I was waiting to see if you was going to get it.
I didn't get it. I was going to just move on. I'm glad you doubled back, because I definitely was like, all right. get an eye just to keep it moving. But but you know, like, there's that whole thing. It seemed like, I don't know if it elevated their art, but it gave them a different perspective. You've seen it even when Pryor went to Africa, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Or like, it's just like, to see some shit from outside, it probably gives you a whole different perspective mm-hmm. than when you in the mix. Like you say, you so deep in the woods, you can't see the trees or whatever.
Right.
But at the same time, man, I know, back to what you said, like, I get the itch after 4 days on the road. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get there Thursday. By Sunday night, I'm so happy to be going to the airport the next day. You know what I'm saying? So, who knows, man? But shout out to the people. Anybody, if beyond Akina, if Akina wants to follow up and hit us up. But like, if anybody has done it, anybody's left the country, everybody's left America, let us know how it's been for you. What has been some of the issues? What have been some of the things that you never thought some of the things you didn't see coming? Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, I'm curious to hear how it's going, you know?
Right.
That's dope. That's dope. But it is something I think about, though. It is something I think about. I'm not going to lie. At this point, I do a month somewhere, though.
Right, right, yeah.
I would do a month at least. You know what I'm saying? A month, that ain't shit.
Summer, you know what I mean? Kick it.
Yeah, I'd do that. Yeah. Just to try it out, the trial run, see what it is.
But you would be like people from other countries. Shit, I could go home, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right, finally, right? Because I hear that shit. I ain't never been able to say that. I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
You know,
I'm going home to my homeland.
Right. Yeah, right. My homeland, my motherland. My homeland, people. That's when they start talking about you people.
Y'all niggas don't even understand.
But before like Akina, it wasn't somebody that was close to me, but one of my neighbors,
mm-hmm.
who used to live right on top of Brad Stye, Roderick. He's from Chicago, and. Mm-hmm. He broke out. He like moved. I ran into him on the street, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm out of here." I'm like, "Damn, you out, dog?" Like, you know what I'm saying? He one of them faces that been around since I've been there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like old time faces that you know. You know what I mean? It's like, "Yeah, I'm out of here, man. I'm moving to Mexico City." I'm like, what the hell is in Mexico City?
What?
But after he broke it down, he's like, "Yeah, you know, same thing. It's a lot of people. I don't know if they were black, but he was like, there's a lot of people." expats that live there. There's a whole growing community. The arts thing is kind of like Bed-Stuy was in the 90s. You know what I mean? You know, all of the romantic conversation. I should follow up with them, see how it's going. You know what I'm saying? You know how they have that shit on in it, how it started, how it's going, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, hopefully it's going good. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's what's up, B. Speaking of leaving the country, you see your man Alton. He trying to go to Havana. He trying to go to Havana by night tonight.
We can leave pre-dawn and be there by dinner. That nigga got reservations.
I mean, top notch gave me a great fake ID. We good. Oh, shit, man.
That nigga.
I guess it's time to get into that. Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, man. That shit was crazy, dog. It's funny. I'm watching it now. I didn't pay attention to it before you even mentioned it, but this season, this episode, you could barely see the snowfall again. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that shit is fading.
Yeah. I'm curious what that represents.
I mean, it's going crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot of chaos. What's your feel? Talk to me. How'd you feel about it?
Solid episode. You know what I'm saying? I see a lot of people really like this episode, but to me it was solid. You know what I'm saying? It was very establishing, setting up the war. Again, you had the action of Khadijah shooting up the of the funeral, but you know it was kind of anticlimactic. Maybe because I had already studied the damn promos so hard,
right?
You know what I'm saying? I already done put too much thought into it and didn't let it just entertain me. So, but again, I like. One of the things I liked about it is that I like that Reed has to feel some of this street shit on the ground. You know what I'm saying? It's like before it was very dismissive of it. He was like, Ivy, go ahead and go sell your little pebbles. You know what I'm saying? And then it became something big. It was like, oh shit. Okay. I guess your little pebbles is working, but now this shit, it threatens his world. You know what I'm saying? And, so it's interesting to see, you know, now that they've been dodging his calls and he's been all out in Panama trying to figure shit out. And now he get back and all this shit is cracking. You know what I'm saying? It's funny to see some of that the streets bleed off into his world. So that was interesting to see for his character. Again, no action. He gave out some little tidbits like, you know, don't trust nobody and shit like that. Shit Franklin should have been already known since he already knew that kind of shit. But, you know, everybody get their time to slip. So, you know what I'm saying? I thought I wasn't as mad as at Reed's parts this week as I usually am impatient with. So that was cool. Also played, you know what I'm saying? He had a nice little, you know, no, not many words, but you know what I mean? He was able to show his seriousness. You know what I'm saying? Everybody need a nigga hold him down like Oso. You know what I mean?
Right. I don't work for you, Pop.
He said, you can go up there. And when he came back to get the little crowbar, he put the gun like, all right, nigga, you done did enough now. If the nigga wanted you in there, you would have had a key. Since you don't. Right. You know what I'm saying? He bought enough time to steal all the shit up out of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he got it off.
Yeah, so I wasn't mad at those parts this week. Let's see. Now, one of the things that it started off, you know, with them up at the club or whatever, and Franklin giving one of his, well, he was actually taking some abuse from his uncle. And then he he jumped off into one of his Obama speeches. and you know, he get a lot of love for his speeches. But for me, I don't feel like those are I don't like those scenes as much as some of his other more calculated stuff. Like when he get to yelling and it don't sound, he don't be sounding mad. He just be sounding like a mad kid. Like, you know what I'm saying? I can't feel the bass in his voice. You know, I don't know if it's a London thing or or just him as a character, he don't have enough bass in his when he elevate his voice to the point of exhaustion. It don't be enough thump in that shit. It'd be like, he sound like an angry Marvel villain or some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he get a lot of love for him. So I guess he pulled it off. But I did, like somebody was talking about, they loved that scene and just as much as they did when he, the brick by brick speech. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, build brick by brick and I'll be damn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I replied. You know, I usually don't jump into the fray, but you know, I'm engaged otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
I replied that I like Leon's speech more than Franklin's. When Leon gave the speech to Franklin in the jail, you know what I'm saying? When you go in there, let these niggas know who you is. Punch the first motherfucker you see. You know what I'm saying? That it had more action items to it. You know what I'm saying? It had, you know what I'm saying? It helped a nigga get to where he needed to be because he didn't have that information. You know what I'm saying? So somebody who's been there was able to give him some information that helped him. You know what I mean? And he was able to get his Stan Smiths back. So I would, if I had to give out the, you know what I'm saying, the Ali Muhammad Award for speeches, I'm going to give it to Leon for the, you know, punch the first nigga you see speech.
Right. Now I hear that.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you on that. The Franklin, them Franklin speeches. It's not real booming. It's more exasperated.
Right.
It's more like he's tired of these niggas. And what I don't like is it's mad separatist.
Right.
You know what I mean? Even if it's brick by brick, or you know what? You know who's going to take the weight? It's going to be me. And y'all talking about, I need some, like, he turns into a dickhead. He goes full asshole when he gets into that bag.
Right.
And I tell you that Kane is adding to his disposition. And Kane, that shit is morphing into his new personality. He is a nigga with a cane now. And that shit informs so much of his delivery now.
That nigga hit him with the, and what do I get? Any compassion?
Like, right, nigga, right.
That ain't no drug dealer speech.
Not at all, man. Yeah, that nobody feeling that.
Right.
Nobody feeling that.
But he getting a lot of love for his speeches, though. You know what I'm saying? So I have to recognize that I may be an outlier here, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's just my own. That's my note. He like, you know what I'm saying? I had to handle Andre bitch ass and Kevin bitch ass. Like, first of all, you ain't even mean to handle Kevin. You know what I'm saying? You can't claim that. You know what I mean?
And which one is Kevin? I forget.
Kevin is his friend who started with him that gave up the recipe to the Mexicans so he could get revenge. And then Franklin ended up shooting him, thinking he was going to shoot. He thought he shot him in the leg. You know what I'm saying?
Right, he shot because he was about to, fuck things up with the DA agent, right? Yeah. Okay, right.
He was about to go set the war off with the Mexicans. So,
right.
So he hit him. He didn't think he, you know what I'm saying? He didn't hit him like that, and then he just bled out because he hit an artery. You know what I mean? So, yeah,
accidental murderer.
Right. He took the charge for that and got off, but you can't. I mean, Leon did more. You know what I'm saying? Getting you out of shit. Then you did for yourself on the murder tip. So I don't even think, I ain't like, why you even bringing that up? You know what I'm saying? Like, you figured out things, moves to make, but also, nigga, you the one with the master plan. This is your operation. You know what I'm saying? You the boss for a reason. Like, you can't claim up. That's like me going home, you know, when I buy these groceries. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, that's your job.
Yeah. Ain't the workers don't want to hear that. Nah, they don't want to hear that, man. Nobody want to hear all that. That's your burden. That's what the money's for. The old Mad Men line.
Yeah. Right. I babysitted y'all. You know how many times I babysitted y'all? Hey, nigga, you can't babysit your own kids, man.
Right.
Nigga, you can't blame us for the problems you created, nigga.
Yeah. Yeah, no, nah, that's why. That is crazy. It is. Yeah, Leon is definitely the Joe Pesci of the crew.
Right.
In my mind.
But difference is he's starting to realize that. You know, see, he's starting to realize that he may be out of his league in as far as the information he has on how to deal with problems. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, when he seen him had to go get Uncle Jerome to handle that shit in the projects, and he watched Jerome handle it, you could see the learning in his eyes. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. I would expect him to start growing. You know what I mean? I'm not sure where they're going to take all of this, but it looks like he's going to grow and grow up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, all this shit is new, you know what I'm saying, to everybody. The whole crack game was a whole new game for the world. So you taking young niggas and giving them money, power, and responsibility, that's a lot of learning on the job. It wasn't no handbook for that shit, because the old school way that they was doing it didn't apply to the way crack was doing it, you know? So, you know, Leon learning.
Yeah, this is all new. This is phase one of Silicon Valley.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is all a brand new shit. They have 49ers. Right. I say what some of the shit that I peeped that I liked. There's a bunch of little things, because you know I had to rewatch it. You know, I done watched it about three times, this one. I like the episode. You know, I'll say this. Even with the foreshadowing, you know, with Mahershala Thomas and everything, it was tough when I saw Louis get hit. Like, I seen it coming, the foreshadowing, that speech that Jerome gave her where he went in on her, you know what I mean? And you gonna be holed up in your ivory tower and all of that, away from it all. And she was just like, all right, fuck it. And she went for him, you know,
He didn't ask her to go.
He told her to stay. He made her feel bad, but I went back
and watched that to see if he said anything that, you know what I'm saying, that, like, you know what I'm saying, if you
don't, he didn't tell her to stay. He made her feel bad for not wanting to go.
He made her feel bad for not wanting him to go. That's what he did, but go ahead.
Well, I think he made her feel bad because he was like, you the one out here starting fires.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? He's still pissed off because he was in the dark, which I dig it. I understand the rage, and I'm not mad. I think it's justifiable.
Right.
I think it's justifiable. But when the attack is like, you up in your ivory tower, you know what I'm saying? Like, basically saying you away from it all, you looking down on the game. It gets separatist again, like how Franklin to get a little bit. It's like, we not all in this together. She in it just as much as she. Every time y'all do a drop or y'all doing some shit outside of going to the projects, which she disagreed with, she in the fold. Right. Overdressed, but in the fold. You know what I'm saying? Taking the ride to Arkansas, connecting the plug, like she's, you know what I'm saying, putting the shit together. So it's not like she's, you know, as Jay-Z would say, you know, working third person. You know what I'm saying? She's in the mix. So when he kind of went in on her, I was like, damn, this is heavy handed. He gonna regret this shit. You know what I'm saying? And I thought that was a hell of a scene. I really liked a lot of that scene. The only part of the scene that was a little OD was the Louis. It was real Ricky. It was Louis. Like, you ain't need to yell Louis that loud. You was right next to Louis. You got her in your arms. Like, she there. I get, you know what I mean? But I, you know, for the emotional part of it, but I thought she played the fuck out of that scene.
Right.
And it made, you know, it reminded you, and it's not just Louis, because I think this is such a great show that there's attachments to so many of the characters, but Louie damn near and the centerpiece. She's one of the center, yeah, one of the key motherfuckers there.
Yeah,
she's the catalyst. She's like the emotional core. You know what I'm saying? So, like, because even, you know, it was even Reed was like upset when he heard Louie got hit. He said, what happened? Is she all right? Like, and you, like, you know, Reed don't really get too deep into this shit. He like, well, she's okay. Like, he was a little concerned. So that
struck me as well too.
Yeah, so I like that. I thought that Reed and Franklin both kind of snapped back to their senses right around the same time. You know what I mean? It took some real, I guess some severe shit for both of them. Louis getting hit, you know what I'm saying? You know, the article dropping, the shit that was going on in the jungle, wherever he was at, you know what I mean? Like, just to kind of, it sobered both of them up. Not really Franklin, because he wasn't drunk off of nothing, but like, it kind of refocused him. You know, mm-hmm. that moment, like you said, when that moment when Reed was like, don't trust anybody. And he said, you already know that. You know, like, just to mm-hmm. reaffirm, like, listen, don't forget, like, let's get back to our regularly scheduled programming. Mm-hmm. This shit is, you know, let's get back. This shit is a dirty game. So please remember that. And then that was just in time, because Thirsty T, she was doing too much. She was getting too desperate. She was moving way too hasty. She mm-hmm. was like trying to get in the mix. Like, yo, if you need, no, you're not alone. Hey, man, mm-hmm. listen. I think she really fucked up when she called Man Boy Drew.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that was one of them things. I don't know if it was overt, but like the two color blazer that she wore to the funeral, I don't know if that kind of signifies that she's playing both sides. You know what I mean? That could be some deep shit. I don't know, but I thought that was interesting.
I didn't even think that.
Yeah, the little green and black situation. I'm like, okay, she on some two-side shit. I'll say, I'm not going to lie. This episode, not that I really give that much of a fuck. Like, the Reed storyline was cool. But this episode, I wasn't as short with the reporter. With old Irene Abbe. I wasn't mm-hmm. like, I like the fact she got her journalistic thrust. She got that righteousness of the truth should mm-hmm. prevail. You know what I mean? And shit, I'm not going to hide. You know what I mean? I'm going to put myself out there. I'm willing to die for this type of shit. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Like, I respected that. Reed had to hit her with the vaccine. But, you know, it was cool. I respected that spark. Mm-hmm. I like that she's in the streets with them big ass recorder mm-hmm. trying to get the story. That was funny. I think her ex-husband, whoever's acting as the ex-husband, man, he's playing that old earnest black man role to a T, mm-hmm. even down to the flannel. I thought that shit was funny, man. I did. I like that. You know, he was into it. What else? I think the best reveal, the best part of that whole shit was when, back to old my man with the cane, when you see Franklin's shoe and cane
church shoe
come up behind. Yeah, that church shoe.
Like a deacon on the usher board.
Man, him and Jerome. I said, Jerome looked like a deacon with no congregation when he was out in them streets with that little pinstripe suit on and that Jerry curl, mad at the world. But when Franklin came hobbling out, he said, how long you been double crossing me, T? And I love that Peaches is always ready to go. Peaches is ready to put a body away.
That's what he doing.
He on call, man. Shout out to D-Ray. He been killing it. Yeah, man.
Before we move on, I just wanted to double back on the case for Jerome. See, it's like how you said, you know, so he's gonna regret that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they have all, like, you know, between Louis and Franklin, they have all done little side things that you be like, mm-hmm. damn, they gonna regret that one day. You know what I'm saying? To mm-hmm. Jerome, in that he had to sit back and eat a lot, because one, he already said, I don't wanna do this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
From the jump, like, nigga, this shit is a whole thing. I don't want to, probably why they ain't tell him about Reed, because he already was like, you know what I'm saying, this shit get crazy when you ain't fucking with your own people. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. like, they've been setting it up to where, you know, he's been that voice of the other side. And they've been kind of running, you know, a counter program to make sure that he's stays in the game, in the fold, you know what I'm saying, by pushing him along, but not by
who, Jerome,
like,
okay,
not keeping him all the way, like you said, Louis is in all, on all the scenes, but they don't bring Jerome to all the scenes, you know what I'm saying, like, it's been that way the whole time. Like, when he needed to go see Claudia, then she had to go in there and face basically her p-
pimp or whatever Claudia was to her, you know what I'm saying? End up, you know what I'm saying, getting into the sack with her, you know what I mean? All while Jerome kind of got to, you know, eat that. Like, you know what I'm saying? I've been at the club all night. Okay, baby, shit, whatever. You know what I mean? We do what we got to do. You know what I'm saying? I guess nephew know what he doing, you know? Taking it out to St. Louis, you know, she's a catalyst. Like, she's really bossing up in the thing as far as pushing it forward. You know what I mean? But, again, Voice of Reason is like, yo, you about to drop napalm on these people and you, you know what I mean? Really, you ain't going. You know what I'm saying? But it was really the same thing that they did to him. You know what I'm saying? But he didn't know that yet. You know what I mean? That's just his point of view is seeing it from like, yo, you might want to at least tell these people that this shit coming, like I told y'all. You know what I'm saying? Right. So
yeah,
a lot of that conversation, what he has, like, you know, we in this because of you and Franklin. Like, you know what I mean? So, you know, at this point, these are problems that need to be handled. And I'm the one that can handle these problems. You know what I'm saying? I'm the one that, you know, so when it come time for me to go handle something, don't come at me like, you know what I mean? Sit down. Cause this is where I'm strong. This is where niggas need me. He probably felt like niggas ain't need him. Franklin ain't sent him to go meet with Reed. You know what I'm saying? Cause he knew it probably wouldn't work. You know what I'm saying? But you know, so he probably got a whole lot of shit that he felt some type of way on. So once he found out, it just started unfurling. You know what I mean? So that's all. I just wanted to recap Jerome's struggle.
Yeah. Now Jerome, he's struggling right now, and it's gonna be. I mean, shit. This is the finale, for this season. So we gonna see, cause he's either gonna boil over or he's gonna simmer, cause. I think the him going out to the projects was risky, but it was needed because, to your point, he's like, he knows that life. You know what I mean? He knows how to speak that language way better than Leon does at this point. He can, you know, he can mediate. And I often, even with going to the funeral, he knows what the optics are. He knows they don't want to look like they, you know, they scary or they ducking anybody. So it was a necessary evil.
Right. And they made
but it
a
don't
point
make
to
it any less
it
risky.
Worked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That but you stuck homie. Between a rock and a hard place. You know what I'm saying? Nephew got it, wanna get the, you know, he remember the last exuberant speech from the last episode. Like, you know, we gonna get the business back going, Leon gonna get the projects back popping. And then Jerome already done heard the speech of, well, we can't stop cause shit, we in the CIA pocket. So
right.
You know what I mean? This something he can handle. He went and handled that shit. He know the politics of that shit, just like he told him. The gang banging ain't about just the money part. You know what I'm saying? It's about the community. And actually, I had stumbled across a video from the 80s. It was some Crips. It was like a news reporter in the hood. It's like, you know, hey, would you stop doing this if you were able to get a job? And then one was like, well, shit, you know what I'm saying? I just be cripping on my job. You know what I'm saying? And then life. And then he was like, this is life. It's not about the money. It's the brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? They said all that shit what Jerome said. It's like a YouTube video. I'm going to try to find it. I'm like, man, that shit is a lot different than the way it's portrayed a lot of times. So, you know, that's what Jerome is speaking to. And he's the only one out of that bunch that could go handle those kind of things because nobody else is on the ground in the trenches or have been on the ground in the trenches in that community like that. Leon will get there, but he not an OG yet. He a little G right now.
Yeah, man, it's good. Other things, I say this, and it's kind of becoming like a running joke to me. Nobody give a fuck about T's brother but T. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like that.
You gonna look out for my brother, ain't you? You're like, yeah, we got your brother. Don't worry about
it. That's a whole lot for a nigga we don't know.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what makes it so funny because nobody's ever seen. He ain't got no screen time, but he done been referenced a whole lot. You gonna look out for my brother, right? Yeah. Come on, he good.
Her brother is the gooch.
We don't even know if T's brother's in. Yeah, we don't even know if he in trouble. He might be enjoying himself. Right. I was gonna say any predictions? The finale, you know. I know you don't really like to do predictions.
Again, like I played myself on the last one, going too deep. You know what I'm saying? So I decided,
feel like you
know what
spoiled
saying?
It for people?
No, not what I spoiled mean? It for people. I spoiled it for myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, not that I knew what was going to happen, but when it did happen, like, yeah, I kind of, you know what I mean? It just, I took myself too far into it to enjoy it. And even though I enjoyed it, you know what I'm saying? I just took myself too deep into it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to just let it play out for the finale and see what it is. But one other observation I have from this particular episode, because this was the first time that they ever gave an outside perspective outside of like the police, the CIA, and then the actual team, the gangs that's working with Franklin, like the community's perspective on him. You know what I'm saying? So when they went in the barbershop, you heard all the people talking about, that's Saint Boy, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a whole lot of chatter about him, but it kind of was never established that that was where he was at in the world, even though you have to kind of, you know what I'm saying, imagine that he was, because if he's a big timer, you know what I'm saying, he's probably known and people probably talk about him, but they don't show that element of the lifestyle, which is very important to street culture, is the outside element of, okay, yeah, that's Franklin right there. That boy, them boys doing it. Or, you know what I'm saying? Just however the people in the world perceive him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All we know is what we see. You know what I'm saying? We don't get that, you know, like in Paid in Full, niggas walking the club and, you know what I'm saying, Brucey B shouting them out, ah, nah, nah, you know what I'm saying? Money making Mitch, you know what I mean? Like, so you know in the world, he like that dude, you know what I mean? Like, and he might not have been the biggest timer, but he was that dude. Everybody fucked with him. So we don't get that perspective in this show, at least yet. You know what I mean? So it's like when I heard them talking in the barbershop, like, damn, that's a missing perspective. But maybe they'll never get to that. But that's something that could have been in play. Probably had to play more extras and shit like that. But maybe that's for another show.
Right. And it shows that they're pretty protective about him too. The way they was arguing. You know what I mean? Nah, I can't. You know what I mean? Like they were,
right?
They attached to him,
right?
You know? There's some pride about that,
right?
Yeah, man. I'm gonna let this finale play out. I don't really have any. I haven't really formulated any big, you know, outside of my big. I still feel like somebody from the family might get popped, like out the mother, the father. I don't know if that's still gonna go down, but yeah, man, I'm just gonna rock with it. It's crazy that this shit is about to be over. It just feel like it just started. You know, every time I watch Snowfall, I feel like I could do a whole nother hour.
Right.
You know, sometimes they feel like they're an hour and 15 minutes or something like that. Because like when it gets close to 11 o'clock or gets close to that hour, and then there's a commercial break and there's still some more snowfall. Right. I'm like, yeah, I'd be excited thinking, okay, it's gonna be another 2 hours, you know. But
you don't get that when you're running it straight through on Hulu the next day. It's just
right. Yeah. I just look. Somebody's hitting us about, are we watching Them? I haven't checked out Them yet. I've been hearing mixed messages. I don't know if I'm ready for all that trauma.
Right.
But I'm going to get to it. I will say this, though, based on what we talked about last week, I watched about 3 episodes of All American, and I like it. Oh, I like it. I was watching the first episode. I was like, all right. And then that twist at the end of the first episode, I was like, oh, shit. That got me because I didn't see the twist coming.
Yeah.
And yeah. So far, I might have that's on the list.
That's first
list
episode, like season one?
Season one, brand new. We gotta tell them.
Yeah, that's Rob Hardy. That's Rob Hardy.
Yeah, the pilot. Shout out to Rob Hardy for that. That was a cool shoe falling at the end. I've been doing that. Yeah. On some other shit, I'm not gonna get into it right now, but one show that I've been fucking with, because I auditioned for it and I didn't get the role, but Young Rock. I like Ooh. Young Rock. Young Rock is pretty good. Young Rock. Remember this shit I was telling you about when they had the Luke
character? Yeah, man.
That shit is pretty good. I like it. It's good.
What is it called? It's called Young Rock.
Young Rock. It's The Rock, the wrestler, as a kid.
Oh, wow.
So it's like basically him as a young kid, him as a high school kid, him when he's in college. Obviously, him as the Rock. You know what I mean? So, like, the premise of the show is he's running for president. That's where I think a lot of this timeline talk about the Rock running for president. I think it came from the show. But it's been taking up a lot of speed, and there's, like, a poll out, like, 46% of the nation said they would vote for him or whatever. But, like, the whole thing is he's campaigning for president, and he's in these interviews with Randall Park, who's been popping, too. Randall Park, you've probably seen him in either Fresh Off the Boat, Crazy Rich Asians, WandaVision. Like, he's been winning, and he's in this. And, like, he's interviewing Rock, and Rock is telling his story, how he got to where he is. You know, Rock's father was a wrestler, and Rock obviously was a wrestler. So this, they going back like 70s, 80s. So you're seeing a lot of the 80s wrestlers, Iron Sheik, Junkyard Dog, Andre the Giant. You're seeing them type of cats. There's people playing them. Then when he goes to college, you got like Luke, because he's at the U. He's at Miami University. So Luke, you got Michael Irvin, you got Warren Sapp. You know what I mean? Like, it's that type of shit. So it's like, it's like 80s period piece type shit. It's fucking good. I like it a lot, man. I enjoy it. So it's a quick 30 minute piece, but I've been fucking with the Young Rock all through the season. So yeah, man. That's it.
That's what's up.
Pardon. Yeah, check that out, man. I've been checking it out. I'll probably watch a little bit more All American. And there's a few other things I checked out, but we'll talk about that next week. But yeah, I think it's time for us to transform and roll out.
Word up.
You know?
Yep.
It is.
And you carried me almost to time to break fast. Appreciate you,
Look
brother.
At that. Look at that. Well, there it go. That's what's up. I like to hear that. You know, I got some turkey wings in the oven, so I'm excited for those. You know what I mean? But until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in a conversation. We out. Conversation.